العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, we are about to end and complete the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Whilst there is no consensus amongst scholars as to the exact month and birth, the time for the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, although it is traditionally commemorated in this month, there is no consensus on when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was really born, which month. However, there is consensus on the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away on the 12th of Rabiul Awal on a Monday. We are about the last day of Rabiul Awal, and I thought perhaps we should look at some of the incidents relating to the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One of the very first signs that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave or indicated about his impending departure from this world was in the 10th year of Hijrah. Two things happened in Ramadan in that year. Firstly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the 10th year of Ramadan, Hijrah, set for i'tikaf for 20 days as opposed to his normal practice of 10 days. And it was also in that month of Ramadan that Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam recited the Quran twice to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as opposed to the normal practice of one recitation. And in that year, during the days of Hajj and pilgrimage, one of the statements that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum during the days of Hajj was, Inni la adri la'alli la alqaakum ba'da aami hadha bihadha al-mawqifi abada. That I do not know if I will ever be meeting you at this place ever after this point. That was the third indication. The fourth indication was during the days of Tashriq. So the Surah Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ, was revealed. And this Surah was indicated that a time has come. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, that you're going to see people now entering into Islam in numerous numbers, in large groups. People were obviously overjoyed at what they heard, except Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he cried. When he was asked, why are you crying? Is this not good tidings for the Ummah that people are now going to enter Islam in large numbers? He said, I interpret this surah to to refer to the impending demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because Islam has now reached its perfection, its completion, and once it has reached its perfection, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to obviously depart from this world. So that happened 1 year in the 10th year of Hijrah. In the 11th year of Hijrah, in the month of Safar, approximately 6 weeks before the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to the plains of Uhud. And he made dua for the deceased, the martyrs of Uhud. And at the same time, he addressed the Sahaba that were with him, almost as a farewell sermon to both the martyrs and to the living. And he said, "Inni faratukum, I shall precede you to the fountain. Wa inni shahidun alaykum, now I shall be a witness for you on the day of Qiyamah." And he said, "Wallahi la anzuru ila hawdi al-an." He said, "I swear by Allah that I can see the fountain of Kawthar from here." And he gave an advice. And one of the advices he gave, about 6 weeks prior to his demise, he said, "Wallahi, ما أخاف أن تشركوا بعدي شيئا." He says, "O people, I do not fear that you would revert to shirk after my demise. I do not fear that people will en masse leave the fold of Islam after my demise. Walakin," he says, "but أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَنَافَسُ فِيهَا," I fear that you are going to vie with one another in the acquisition of wealth, hurt one another, lose your values in the acquisition of wealth. And we see this both at an individual level, at a micro level, and a macro level. How the fight for resources globally is determining the political agenda of most countries in the world. And at a micro level, at an individual level, where people have no reservations when it comes to impounding wealth, taking the wealth of people, dishonesty has become so prevalent, etc. So 6 weeks prior to the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he addressed the shuhada at Uhud and the companions that were with him, and he cautioned us, "Be careful about your moral values in the acquisition of your rizq. Do not lose your honesty, sense of justice, and compassion in the acquisition of your rizq." However, the actual sickness that led to the final demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam began on the 29th of Safar. It was also a Monday. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was returning from Jannatul Baqi after burying a Sahabi. And suddenly, the feverish pitched high, he had an intense headache which forced him to go to his home under difficult circumstances. 7 days before the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he kept on asking his spouses, radiyallahu anhunna ajma'in, that aina ana ghadan, aina ana ghadan, where will I be tomorrow? Where will I be tomorrow? Implying asking his wife in a very dignified manner that when is my turn, or when will I be taken to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha? That is where I would like to spend my days of illness. And the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gladly obliged, and with the help of two sahaba radiallahu an, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam rested his hands on over their shoulders, and he was taken to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, which was adjoining Masjidun Nabawi. And there, that is where he spent the last days of his life. 5 days prior to the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now on account of the very high fever, used to lapse in a state of unconsciousness. And he would come out and lapse into state of unconsciousness. And it was on the fifth day that he instructed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that these are the 7 qirab, water bags. Go and fill water from the different wells of Medina and pour this water over me. Perhaps I will regain my health. So 7 water bags containing water from the different wells of Madinatul Munawwara were poured onto him. He felt better, and he asked to be taken to the masjid. So again, with the help of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he was taken to the masjid. It was Zuhr time. He ascended the minbar and he spoke to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Some of the advices he gave at that stage, he said, لا تتخذوا قبري, do not take my grave wathanan, as an idol yu'bad. لا تتخذوا قبري وثنا يعبد. He said, curse to the Jews and the Christians. They have you made the graves, converted the graves of the prophets into shrines. He says, do not take my grave as an idol that is going to be worshipped. How do people worship idol? They kiss the idol, they make sajda before the idol, they go around the idol, etc. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam cautioned the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in that address before Salatul Zuhr, that do not take my grave as an idol that's going to be worshipped. He then said, and this demonstrates the extreme humility of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, man kuntu, that person that I have lashed on his back, fahadha dhahri falyastaqid minhu, here is my back, let him avenge himself. Implying that if I have physically abused any one of you, I am here for qisas. Avenge yourself. Do not hold it against me on the day of Qiyamah. And he said, وَمَنْ كُنْتُ شَتَمْتُ لَهُ, if I had undermined your integrity, humiliated you, disgraced you, here am I, you can avenge yourself. So he asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum 5 days prior to his demise that, please do not hold anything against me. Forgive me, or if you choose, you have a right to take retribution. Now, if this was the concern of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prior to his demise, forgive me, don't hold anything against me in the court of Allah, here am I, take your retribution now. What about us? Are we able to go to someone we've injured, we've hurt, we've oppressed, and say, please forgive me, or take your dues from me? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was guaranteed his place in Jannah, felt it important to actually level it with people. He then got down from the minbar, led the Salat al-Dhuhr, climbed the minbar again. And then amongst the advices he gave, firstly he made a comment. And he said, "Inna abdan khayyarahu Allahu ta'ala an yu'tiyahu min zahrati dunya ma sha'a wa bayna ma 'indahu fakhtara ma 'indahu." In the course of his speech, he said that this is a slave of Allah, whom Allah has given a choice. Allah, if he so wills, Allah will open for him the beauty, the splendor, and the wealth of this world as he desires. Or he has a choice of returning to Allah and enjoying the favors in the hereafter. Fakhtara, so he chose ma indahu, what is by Allah in the year after. Again, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did not really understand the import of these words, except Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr, when he heard these words, he said, "May our fathers and mothers be sacrificed for you." And people asked him, "What are you talking about?" Later on, they understood what this meant. That these were Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's indirect words, implying that he is about to leave this dunya. 4 days before his demise, it was a Thursday, one very difficult incident took place. We don't have the time to go to that incident. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave 3 specific instructions. The Sahabi who narrates this, he says the first instruction was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us that the Jews and the Christians should now be banished from the Arabian Peninsula. This land is now purified for the believers only. The second instruction given to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum 4 days before the demise of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that when the delegations come to you to learn about Islam, honor them and entertain them as I have entertained them. I mean, grant them preferential status, diplomatic status, treat them in a dignified manner. They have come in quest and in search of the truth. And it was 4 days before the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Maghrib Salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with great difficulty led the Maghrib Salah. And he read Wal Mursalat in the Maghrib Salah. After that, he went to the house. He was taken to the house of Aisha radiallahu anhu. That was the last salah, the Maghrib salah, 4 days before the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he led in Masjid al-Nabawi. When Isha time came in, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to lapse into unconsciousness, wake up, lapse, and each time he woke up, he asked Aisha radiallahu anha, did the Sahaba perform the Isha Salah? And they said, no, O Prophet of Allah, they're all waiting for you in the masjid. He tried on several occasions to make wudu, but each time he would lapse into unconsciousness. Eventually he called Aisha radiallahu anha. And he told Aisha radiallahu anha that go and instruct your father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, to lead the prayers, to make imama. And Aisha radiallahu anha pleaded with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't let it be my father, he's too soft. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insisted that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu should lead the prayer. So the Isha Salaf was then led by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu read 17 salahs during while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sick, while he could not perform namaz. Abu Bakr read 17, made imamat 17 times in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is that not enough an indication of who the real Khalifa should be after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is that not an indication of the integrity of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? People today try and undermine and speak ill of Abu Bakr and Aisha radiallahu anha. So eventually, 2 days prior to the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, he went for Zuhar Salah. But he could not. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was leading the prayer. He could, and when he sensed the approach of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started walking back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you lead the prayer. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated on the left side of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and that is where he read his Zuhr Salah. On Sunday, that means 1 day before the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set free his slaves that were by him. He had 7 dinars that he gave as charity. He gave his sword and armaments as a gift to the Ummah, to the Muslims. To such an extent, he dispensed of all his assets. He had nothing. To such an extent that Aisha radiallahu anha says that when night fell, that Sunday night, there was no oil in the house to light the lantern. We had to borrow oil to light the lantern in the house. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave all his assets, whatever mere small, little he had, he gave it out one day before his demise. On the 12th of Rabiul Awal, Monday morning, Fajr time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was leading the Fajr Salah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened the curtain from the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And Anas radiallahu anhu says, we realize that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was smiling and looking at Abu Bakr and the Muslims assembled in serves reading the Fajr Salah. That was the last public appearance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It wasn't a public appearance, but the last time that the Sahaba saw the Mubarak face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was Fajr time. After Fajr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then called for Fatima radiallahu anha. And he told her 3 things. Firstly, he whispered something in the ear that made her cry. He called her back And he whispered again in her ear that made her smile. Later on, when she was asked, what was it? She said that that Monday, the 12th Rabiul Awal, my father called me, whispered into my ear that, oh Fatima, I am not going to recover from my illness. He says, that made me cry. But when he saw the pain and sorrow on my face, he called me back and said, oh Fatima, does it not please you that you would be the first to join me after my demise? He says, that made me so happy. And the third message he gave her, that, oh Fatima, you are going to be the leader of all women in Jannah. He then, after he addressed Fatima radiallahu anha, he then called for his wives. And he addressed his wives, he spoke to his wives. We can well imagine the emotion. And then he called for his grandsons, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. And he spoke to them, he kissed them. And he advised people, look after my grandchildren. Look after Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu. Now after that, they all departed. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I am so proud, not in the wrong sense, but I have distinctions that no one else has. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in my house when he passed away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was between my breast and my legs. His head was resting on my breast and legs when he passed away. Her brother came in, Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu, who had a miswak. And Aisha radiallahu anha understood that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wants to use the miswak. So she got it. She chewed it for him and she gave him or helped him brush his teeth, make miswak of his teeth, and says, I have the honor that my saliva was the last that entered the mouth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is how he breathed his last words were ila rafiqil a'la, to the friend most high. And that is how he left the world. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.